ESPN ranked every NFL roster 1 to 32 today. The Commanders came in way higher than I would have thought.
Stunned by that ranking.
Seventh. The number 7 most talented roster in the NFL, according to ESPN. Biggest strength, they went off-ball linebacker, which also I was surprised by. They said it was tempting to pick Jaden Daniels in the quarterbacks, but the terrific Bobby Wagner, Frankie Louvu duo is too good to pass up. Wagner's entering his age 35 season, but he's shown almost no signs of drop-off. Ranking in the top 10 among off-ball linebackers and pass rush wins, tackles for loss, quarterback hits last season. We talk a lot about his foot speed diminishing some and maybe, you know, their run defense not being that good, and he was a part of that because he just doesn't move like he used to. But it is true that he still makes a ton of plays.
Yes, he does.
And there's still a case to be made. I mean, he was a second-team All-Pro. When you talk about pass rush wins where he's still good coming downhill, TFLs, getting into the backfield, hits on the quarterback as a rusher, he can still do a lot of things at a very high level.
Without a doubt. I mean, when I saw 7th, I went, oh, 7th in the NFC. Top of my head, that's probably about what it should be. And I'm not being flippant. I mean, like, I would probably even rank a little lower than that, to be honest with you.
Jaden Daniels makes them a top 5 team in the conference.
I would go that.
The overall talent is middle of the pack.
That's a 7 or 8 win team, 6, 7, 8 win team, depending on if a field goal doinks in or not, or an onside kick's recovered or not, or a 4th and 12 is converted or not, passes dropped, you know, the whole deal. Jaden Daniels makes them double-digit wins a threat, dangerous, elevating everybody else around him. I would not have said 7th in the NFL. I mean, that's big boy company right there.
Goes on to say that Frankie Louvu, is one of the only NFL players with 250-plus tackles and 20-plus sacks over the past 3 seasons. He's got 335 and 21, respectively. The duo combined to play 98.2% of the team's snaps last season. I love those two guys in tandem. I stop short of saying off-ball linebackers one of their biggest strengths because Wagner's very old and could get hurt. Age generally is synonymous with missing time. Didn't happen last year. Also, I don't think Louvu is going to spend a ton of time off the ball in the linebacking core. I mentioned this a lot, but I think he's going to come downhill and actually come off the edge some. Now, maybe the Von Miller addition on obvious passing downs is going to help keep Louvu off the ball in his linebacking role. But there's still going to be a lot of the time, I think, where they use him as a pass rusher. And there's a big drop-off to the rest of their linebackers, where a late-round pick like Kane Medrano might be able to play this season, or you know, Jordan McGee is going to be counted on substantially, who barely played on defense at a few snaps last year. So just the overall depth of the position stops me from saying it's one of their biggest strengths. But if you're just looking at starters in a world where you only use 2 linebackers at a time, and those two guys played at 98% of the time last year, I get why you would like Bobby Wagner, Frankie Louvu a lot. They're both sensational.
The usage of Louvu pre-Miller, I thought I had a pretty good beat on. Now I'm curious. I wonder if it's, by the way, having that flexibility sort of gives you the opportunity to keep offenses guessing, right? So like every time, you would pretty much say, okay, it's no longer a running down, Frankie. The offense, the defense, everyone else knows what's coming. He's either hand in the dirt, blitzing in one direction or the other, standing up and rushing. He's rushing the passer. I thought, okay, he'll have plenty of opportunities to do that. Now you can be multiple. You can make it look like he's going to do that, then back off and have him cover the flat or have him rush the passer in certain times. I think having Von Miller gives you a little bit of that flexibility when he's available, when he's healthy. But that tandem, I mean, and that doesn't include, you know, their desire, I think, to play more 4-3. More base at times, whether that's an extra safety pretending to be a linebacker, or if it's Jordan McGee, who we heard a lot about before injuries kind of robbed him of his debut season. But they're basically running up like a 4-2-5 almost all the time now, right? Think of that box safety, that Jeremy Chinn, now that Will Harris type role, almost as like your third linebacker. That is the strength of the defense, though. Which, and I keep coming back to this, the reason I don't have them anywhere near 7th is I look at the rest of it and I'm going, are we sure that Payne, Kinlaw, Johnny Newton, and Dietrich Wise, that's your juggernaut? Like, that's a defensive line that's good enough to be 7th in the NFL?
And that's a D-line that hopefully can stop the run, which I think is what they're going to be out
there
to do.
That's what they wanted to do, yeah.
I mean, they're going to have a completely different group, maybe, you know, Payne and Newton aside, when it comes to getting to the quarterback, I would think. Biggest weakness, they went safety. They say it's a toss-up between safety and edge rusher, but Louvu's pass-rushing contributions, we just talked about, push them towards safety. Jeremy Chinn is gone, set to be replaced by journeyman Will Harris, who's going to work opposite Quan Martin. Percy Butler is returning his competition at the position, too. None of these players posted a quality PFF grade in recent seasons. Safety's going to be an area where they're going to have to overachieve. I do think Quan Martin has come on enough that you feel like they've got one quality player at that position. But otherwise, there are some big-time questions. And I've said throughout the offseason, I really believe they're going to miss Jeremy Chinn. Now, the next category here is X Factor for 2025. Cornerback Marshon Lattimore is the answer. According to ESPN, they say in his limited time with the team, Lattimore didn't look like the top-flight corner he was in the past. That's an understatement. The Commanders need him to be better. The pass rush is a serious concern. Washington will need Lattimore, Mike Sanders still, rookie Trey Amos to lock down opposing wide receivers as long as possible. I think that's fair. I think Marshon Lattimore is the biggest X factor on the team. I totally agree.
Yeah, that's fork in the road stuff. If they're right, now what I would have done, now again, I'm not qualified to do anything, but what I would have done is said, you know what? We tried to do something special last year. The analogy I've used a million times is we were driving in a race we didn't expect to win. And we're up among the leaders, and we blow a tire. And somebody comes along and goes, I got a tire, but because of where you are and what's happening, it's going to cost you a little bit more. Fine. I don't care. We got a chance to do something special. So you overpay for some tires. Turns out those tires weren't any good. They had an off-ramp this year to get out of that contract for no dead money. I would have done that, and I would have gone big game hunting in the cornerback market where you could really improve without paying $30, $27, $28, $29 million. They didn't. They redoubled down on Lattimore coming back and being the guy that he has not been in 4 years. Yeah, that's a pretty big call. That's the decision of the offseason to me.
It's a huge one. They are paying him $17, $18 million a year, I think it is.
Yep.
A corner of that ilk, you know, a longtime starter, Pro Bowler type, not someone with the all-pro credentials that he has, but those guys aren't often available. And obviously, he's not at that level anymore either. But you're talking about $20 million in this market this year that they would have spent. So it would have been spending even a little bit more, but you would have gotten maybe someone, whether younger or not, hopefully healthier and more productive. But you're right. They bet huge on Marshon Lattimore, other than just Jaden Daniels. And I think you could always put the quarterback top of any X-factor list. What kind of season are they going to have? Is he going to replicate last year? Is he going to play even better than he did last season? Because now you're a Super Bowl contender, and he's an MVP candidate. Is he going to take a small step back or turn the ball over more? Is he going to miss time? Like, those are real questions. But if you take QB out of the equation, Lattimore, to me, is the biggest X-factor on the team. I think that's a great answer by ESPN. And then the last category, non-starter to know. This was kind of intriguing. They went with wide receiver Luke McCaffrey, believe it or not. They said McCaffrey didn't get as much playing time as expected as a rookie, finishing with 18 catches and 168 yards. However, he comes from an NFL family, entered the league with an 87% playmaker rating, which ranked 8th in the excellent 2024 receiving class. Similar in style and usage to Deebo Samuel Jr. Not sure I buy that. Which is
that they're both receivers.
A problem because the Commanders just acquired the actual Samuel. That is a weird comp for me. If Samuel gets hurt, don't be surprised if McCaffrey succeeds as his replacement. Again, I don't really get that comp by Aaron Schatz, former Football Outsiders guy we have on a bunch.
Maybe the idea is they're both underneath receivers when they are receiving, let alone, Deebo Samuel's usage is going to be motion.
So you think he's talking about as a pass catcher, not like as a guy all over the formation?
That's the only way I can interpret that and have that make any sense. Look, that's not a downfield threat. That's okay. Working within 12 yards and you know, operating underneath and, you know, in between the hash marks, maybe. I don't know. But again, that comp doesn't make much sense to me.